All right, shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible College. Whoops, I messed up. Rishon Messianic Bible Club. This, and it might as well be a college because we are into really studying and learning the Word of God. Okay, so praise the Lord. I hope Pastor Ben, did you get that envelope out yet?
Oh, I've sent it out this morning.
Oh, praise God. So, Lindsay, you will get your... Yeah, because I love Lindsay's final that she did, and her husband, how they worked it out. And, you know, when I brag and I say, well, here's one of our students' finals, I can put... I always put Lindsay's out. Say, yeah, check this out. Look at what she expressed in her final exam. I think people who missed out on the class kind of missed out on really learning incredible things from God in the Hebrew club. I mean, in the Hebrew college, because we did go through it as slow as I possibly could. Okay. I'm going to pray in because I want to talk to you about a few different things today, and we want to really get into understanding the 120. Only two counts. Do you know that, Pastor Ben? The 120 count, 120 countdown, is only in the Bible twice. Once with, in Genesis chapter 6, he gives them 120 years. So I was looking like, is there anywhere else in the Bible that there's 120? The only 120 other 120 count is Psalms 1 through Psalms 120, which starts the Psalm of Ascent. Okay, so I think we're pretty much on point as the Psalm in the 1900s, leading us right up to the Rapture in Psalms 120.
Sandy Vicky D said they sacrificed a lamb in Israel today.
Well, you know, that's so disrespectful. Poor lamb. It's like. Poor lamb. He's like, didn't Jesus already die? Why?
What'd
I do? Jesus already died. Don't let me go. That is so sad. I mean, it really is just sad that they would even do that. But, you know, a blinder's a blinder, and there's a blinder on Israel, and the blinder won't really be removed until the church leaves.
Yes.
And so we watch them do this, and you just have to understand that God said in Isaiah, put a blinder on these people that they don't understand, okay? That, or else they might wake up and repent. And yep. Then when Christ comes, they won't sacrifice them.
Right.
So remember, Israel is under a blinder for a reason. But after the rapture, during their travail, they will finally give birth to their own children, and God will be very happy with the nation of Israel. Not mad at Israel when I see them do crazy things, because I wonder how I would be if God put a blinder on me. You know what I would be doing? It'd be pretty probably some crazy stuff. So let's continue to pray for Israel. Pray for their wisdom. Pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit when the Lord returns. And pray for the Messianic Jews that are there, that believe in Yeshua, that will meet us in the air. And they will be in the air still praying for their nation to come to Christ.
Yeah.
So we're on a mission, and it's a beautiful plan that God has. And he says not only will he save the Gentile nations, but he's also coming back to save the nation of Israel.
Amen.
Okay, and remove that blinder from them. So let's pray, because we're going to get into Rosh Hashanah talk. We're going to get into biblical prophecy and truth. I don't know how you prophesy something and then make it come true over a 2,000 year period, you know, and then everything has to be the exact date, happen the exact way. How do you do it? That's incredible to me that God can do that. That is, maybe God be like, only I can do it. Don't even ask. It's not a parlor trick. I'm God. All right. So here we are. Let's pray ourselves in. We are saying the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because we want Hashabaim to be just like on earth, the rulership on earth as in heaven. We want Jesus to not only be king in heaven, we want Jesus to come back with us and be king over the earth, okay? So this is a great prayer, and the prayer is instructed by Jesus himself. When you pray like this. Abba nu shaba shabaim yit kadesh shemcha. Tavo mehuteka yi ase rotsanaka. Be'aretz ke asher ne'asa be'shamayim. Ten lanu hayom lechem hukenu. Uselak lanu et ashmetenu. Ke asher solechem anaknu le'asher ashmelanu. V'yal tevienu l'de masa. Ke'im hatzilanu min harab. Kilacha hamamlaka v'hagivara v'hatif eret le'olamei le'olamim. Amen.
Amen.
Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach Anachnu Tefillin. And Toda Rabbah for joining us once again. And we are getting ready to get started. Okay. The first thing I want to do is talk about Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah will be here in a couple of days. Last week we talked about Rosh Hashanah and all the similes that make Rosh Hashanah a rapture date, okay? Some of the greatest scholars in biblical studies will tell you the rapture is on Rosh Hashanah, okay? And we have to understand why they say that. They say that because Jesus said at the last trump. In one of the scriptures, it says at the last trump, okay? And when you're talking about the last trump, you're talking about the Rosh Hashanah trumpets, because there's 100 trumpet blasts for Rosh Hashanah, but the last trump does not appear until the moon appears in the sky, okay? Now, that is not a rapture scenario, being that the moon is married to the sun, which is like the bridegroom coming out of his chuppah, and so that's showing you this whole rapture scenario. So the Rosh Hashanah is a rapture scenario. You guys know why I don't believe this is going to be the church, because there's a rapture scenario at the end of the tribulation that happens on Rosh Hashanah as God takes out the righteous 10 days before he returns and destroys the enemies of Israel. So, but Rosh Hashanah has a lot of things. Now, this is what I want you guys to understand. Rosh Hashanah has so many similarities that pertain to the church that Pastor Sandy could be absolutely wrong and Rosh Hashanah could be our rapture date, okay? And I want you to know before we're flying up and you're pointing your finger going, told you were wrong. I know I could be wrong, because if Christ says that both the church and when he returns and takes the tribulation saints out at the end are both going to be on Rosh Hashanah, it could possibly happen. So I'm not saying that it's completely wrong. I'm just saying there's another Rosh Hashanah that fulfills the three last feasts. And so if there's going to be a Rosh Hashanah rapture and it's in a few days, God bless us. You can point your finger at me on the way up, and I will apologize on the way up, and that would be just fine with me, because Rosh Hashanah is coming. They are going to blow 99 trumpets. They are going to wait till they see the new moon. Then they're going to blow the last trump, and then that will be the announcement that the new moon has appeared in the sky, because it's going to disappear, okay? The moon is going to disappear. If that's the bride, she disappears from the view of the earth. Yes. And when she appears in the sky, the trumpets will blow. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm believe me, this is not a bet I'm trying to win. I want to lose. I want it to be a Rosh Hashanah rapture, okay? But if it doesn't, I don't want you to get upset over the fact that it wasn't on Rosh Hashanah. Understand the that it's not necessary that you know the date, but that you know the season
yes.
that we're in.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk about the two prophecies in the Bible that are 120 years long. And judgment is supposed to come at the end of that 100 or when that 120 years hits.
Pastor, okay. Do you want to also talk about the Bible?
Yeah, I do want to talk about the Bible. Some lady, what did she ask, Pastor Ben? She asked a question.
She asked, she saw a YouTube posting.
I want that YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I want you to send that to me because I want to answer that person and make sure that her foolishness doesn't drag to a lot of other Christians.
Right. She's a thing being changed in the Bible, nothing being exactly the way God wrote it, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah. Well, this is what I would do. I would make sure I learn how to use blueletterbible.com
yeah.
or .org because blueletterbible.org gives you the original languages of each book, both the Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament. And not only do they give you the Greek, they give you the Septuagint, and they also go back a little further so that they can give you before the Septuagint. So because some in the Septuagint, it seems like they left a couple of things out as well that they should have included with, I think it's called the lexicon, that they should have included so that you understand some things better. So the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. Now, study to me does not mean read, because I can read the newspaper, but I don't study it. But when you read the Bible, God is telling you to study it, to go back to find out where did this come from? Where does this concept come from? Why is he saying this in this scripture? Is there another passage that backs this scripture up? Let me go and look at it, okay? Now, that's how that's studying the word, okay? That is not dividing the word. Dividing is not the word dividing. That's an English word they use for the Greek word, which means to stay on a straight line as you're cutting. Okay, so dividing the word doesn't mean to divide it. It just means stay on the exact line that God has provided. Don't veer from the gospel. Okay, so I want to teach us something today, and then we'll get back to the 120.
Pittman said her post name is, I'm going to spell it for you, E-Y-A.
Okay.
That's what Pippin said. Her
E-Y-A. Okay.
E-Y-A, that's the post name.
All right. Yeah, I want to see that video because we need to answer that. Now, I'm going to teach us something today that is very important. But before I get to teaching us that, I need us to go to Genesis chapter 10, okay? Genesis chapter 10. I was kind of mourning for the African-American community last night because I saw some horrible church stuff, but we're in a lot more trouble than that. We got a group called the Black Hebrew Israelites who are claiming that the African Americans are the true Hebrews and that the Jews that returned to 1948 are a bunch of false Jews and Hebrews. And George Soros, who is a Luciferian Satanist, he's the one who helped finance this Black Hebrew Israelites and Black Lives Matters. He helped finance these and get them organized, you know, because, you know, Parliament Funkadelic outfits aren't cheap. And he has them standing out there preaching in those crazy outfits. So
they ain't cheap.
So our people are in a lot of trouble. But I want us to make sure that we understand God choosing nations, God choosing lineages, and God making a direct descendant that would go right to him, okay? Because God is choosing a direct bloodline to cross over in, okay? Mm-hmm. Hebrew, Iber, means crossover. So God's like, I'm going to choose a specific group of people to use, and I'm going to call them crossover, Hebrew, or Iber. I'm going to use them to come from heaven to earth so that I can be that sacrifice. But I've got to keep this bloodline pure, so I'm going to make sure that I keep that bloodline pure, because this is the line that my Messiah, myself, I'm going to come through, okay? Now, we know that the descendants of Ham, and let's read this, though. Let's read this, because I'm more interested in Shem's descendants than the rest of these, okay? I'm reading from Genesis chapter 10, but I want you to read with me Genesis chapter 10, verse 1 to 3, okay? Because there's something you need to know. Now, watch this. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. The scripture says this: out of one man, God created all nations.
Yep.
What man is that?
Moses.
Noah.
Thank you.
That's one. Because, listen to this, Pastor Ben. Everybody says, Adam. No, Adam is the man that is had the blood that God created. But God said, he's asking you a very specific question. Out of one man, God created all nations of men. And that came from Noah, because Noah had three sons and they created 70 nations. Okay?
Everybody else was dead.
Right. So now watch this. Here is Noah, and he's going to, out of his loins comes Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay? Now, in verse 2, it says, the sons of Japheth, and Japheth comes from where? From Noah. The sons of Japheth are Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Taras. The sons of Gomer are Ashkenaz. You hear that? Okay, now, go to any scholar and they will tell you the ancient name of Germany is Gomer. The ancient name for the whole area of Europe is Ashkenaz, okay? Because remember here, it says the son of Germany was Europe. Basically, you could say that, right? The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz. So what is an Ashkenazi Jew? A Jew that returned to Israel from the European territories. Okay? That's what an Ashkenazi Jew is. He is a son of he comes from Gomer, okay, which is Germany. And he says Germany is the original name Gomer. Ashkenaz, the area of Europe, is the original name Ashkenaz, okay? So, why is it important for us to know that? Because Gomer will not be mentioned again until God prophesies that Israel is going to be punished. Mm-hmm. And he says Israel is going to be punished, but he has... But he's letting you know where they're going to be punished, in Gomer, okay?
Yes.
And in Gomer, this punishment is going to happen to the nation of Israel, okay? So that means not only does God know, we're in Genesis chapter 10, he's doing it again, and we're in Genesis chapter 10, and he's already letting you know the area that the children of Israel will be brought back from.
Yes.
And that is Gomer or Germany. Ashkenaz, which is Europe, okay? Now, I'm saying this, and I want to say something else. If you read all of Japheth's descendants, I mean, not Japheth, let's get away from Japheth, because then from Japheth, then he starts talking about the sons of Ham. Okay, now look, we've done this. Ham is was black. I mean, Ham was blue black. Okay, you gotta get some encyclopedias. Ham is a dark-skinned black man from the land of Cush. What does Cush mean? Black. Cush, Ham, Ham is the father of Cush. Okay? Okay, so the sons of Ham was Cush. Mitzarim is Egypt. So you got that's two black people. Put another black area, Canaan. Okay, we know the Canaanites lived in the wrong area until God kicked them out. Okay, but these are the sons of Cush, and Cush in Hebrew means black. So we get the black tribes, the black people of the world that come out of Ham. Okay,
amen.
Then we get to Shem. Now, Shem is in verse 22. You can count down all of the descendants that are from Shem. Now, I got to do this real fast here. What can we erase today? We can erase Ben Judah. Okay. Now watch this. I'm going to use brown because it's at least dark. Okay. Yod, hey, what kind of Vav, hey. Who is that? That's Yahweh, right?
Yes.
Or Yahweh, okay? Now, what's the numerical value of this? 26. Okay. How many descendants do you think are going to be from Shem? Since the Messiah is going to come through the descendants of Shem. There's 26 lineages. Okay? There's 26 names from Shem to the end. There's 26 names because it is the numerical value of Yahweh, because it's Yahweh's plan to cross over into the world through who? Through the descendants of Shem. Now, as we continue to look at this, and we look at this, we see that in verse 10, something happens. I'm telling you this for a reason, because you have to know. Once we get there, I want you to be educated about it. Okay? When you get to in verse 22, the sons of Shem was Elam, Ashur, Arphax, Lud, Aram. The son of Aram was Uz, Hul, Gether, Meshech, Arphaxad was the father of Shelah, and Shelah, or Shelah, the father of Eber. Now listen to that. He's the father of Eber. How do you say Hebrew in the language?
Eber.
Okay. What does his name mean? To cross over. So now look at this. Eber has two sons. He had a son named Peleg, and he had a son named Joktan. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, God said, and God does this all the time, God chooses Peleg, not Joktan. He said, your line is going to come through Peleg. I'm not choosing Joktan. Remember, he had two sons. Every time there's two sons, God says, I have Esau, I have Jacob, but I chose Jacob, right? Here he's choosing Peleg. Now, if you get to Luke and you start going down the line from Adam all the way, Matthew, and you start going down the line, you're going to come to Peleg, because through Peleg's lineage comes the Messiah, Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, why am I telling you this? Because, first of all, the children of Israel are going to come out of the descendants of Shem. Why? God numerically valued it to let you know that these are Yahweh's people. There's 26 in number. Count them yourself. Okay, now, I did that so we can now go to the book of Hosea. Now, what did I write here? It says, some people ask why there is no mention of Hitler in the Bible.
I thought there was mentions of Hitler in the Bible.
His name is not mentioned. But you have to understand, and you're right, Pastor Ben, where it's going to happen is mentioned in the Bible.
And what's going to happen?
And what's going to happen is mentioned in Esther, okay? Mm-hmm. So you have where it's going to happen, and you have what's going to happen in the book of Esther, and it's already prophesied. Remember what I was teaching you last night. God has pre-told things from the beginning so that you'll know that he's involved when they happen, okay? This is why when we get to the end of this, this is why when I say there's 220 year counts that lead to a day of destruction.
Yes.
One is in Genesis chapter 6, and the other count of 120 is Psalms 121 to 120. Okay. And so I want you to know that this is not, man, I wish I could, there was a way. Heavenly Father, help me. I want a way to really get this embedded in the children of God so that they understand, get ready, get on your toes, let's get ready to go. I really wish there was a way that I could get this to you. I wish it could get as big as the Scotty Clark 12 thing, you know, and not to be famous, but just to get people to know so that they can be prepared. And like Dennis did, get saved last night.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
yes.
This is about salvation. This is not about the popularity of Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, or the popularity of Soldiers for Christ. I'm not trying to get popular. Okay. I've been famous. I play football. That's as famous as I want to get. But in this, I only want to get popular because I want more people to know that it's time, okay? So, as we go to the book of Hosea, let's get there. It's a beautiful book. Oh, my goodness. There it is. I passed it. Okay, Hosea. Now, you can read the whole book of Hosea. It's an absolutely beautiful book. And here, but check this out. Let's read this. Let's go to verse 2.
Chapter 2?
No, we're going to chapter 2. And this is what it says. When the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take yourself an adulterous wife and children of the unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer. Now, we only know Gomer from chapter 10
right.
In Genesis, which says this is going to be one of the territories. Gomer is Germany.
Yes.
So he's saying, he went and he married who? Gomer. Okay, the daughter of Debalim, which means two figs. And she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel.
Amen.
And I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. Okay, now. It says, in that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. Okay, so it's in the valley of Jezreel that God judges the nation. Okay, the valley of Jezreel is now today called Megiddo, which is, or what we call Armageddon. It's that area where Jesus, when he returns, is going to reclaim the nation of Israel. So he says, in the same place that I said that you're not my people, Jezreel, in the same place I'm going to say you are my people and reunite you to me, okay? Because in Megiddo, in Jezreel, is where it's going to happen, okay? Now, let's continue to go, because now he's going to start announcing the punishment. He said, Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel. Where? In Gomer. In Gomer, he said, name this child Lo-Ruhamah, because I will not, and Ruhamah means no love, but it means no mercy.
Right.
I will not show you mercy. Where? In Gomer. Okay. He's announcing to them the penalty for the vilest adultery departing from the Lord. Okay. Now he says, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horse or horsemen, but by the Lord their God. After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people. So now he's saying in Gomer, you're going to have no mercy and you're not going to be my people, or I'm going to treat you as if you're not my people. And where does he announce it? In Gomer.
Yes.
Who is the father of Ashkenaz, which is the European area. So now God has now announced where the punishment is going to happen. And so we know that when they return, where are they going to return to the land from? From Germany and the European area. That's where the Jews are going to return from. Okay? So we don't have to get into, well, we shouldn't even mention it, but we shouldn't even be talking about no black Americans talking about we're the original Hebrews, because you didn't return in 1948, okay? You didn't go to Germany, okay? And you never returned, okay? So therefore, you're nullified out of the decision, because prophecy is always proven through what? I mean, truth is always proven through prophecy. Okay, so if you don't match the prophecy, then you're not truth. Jesus was not born in Miami. He would have not been truth. Miami. You understand? He had to be born in Bethlehem, right? Amen. God, because the scriptures already said it. So if somebody says, no, we met Jesus, he's born in, no, he can't be, because the scriptures already said where Jesus would be born. Okay, because prophecy makes truth. Okay, and the truth makes prophecy. Okay, so he says, it says, call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God, yet the Israelites will be like the sand of the sea. So that means, wait a minute, you just said you're not my people, but still you're saying you're going to bless us, and you're going to be the number of the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called the sons of the living God. Okay, so in Jezreel, God says, I'm going to redeem you. And the same place that I placed the curse on you is the same place that I'm going to place a blessing on you and say, you are now my people.
Right.
It says, you are not my people. They will be called the sons of, but they will be called the sons of the living God. And it says, the people of Judah and the people of Israel will be united, and they will appoint one leader and will come out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel.
Yes.
Do you realize great will be the day of Jezreel? What's going to happen in Jezreel? Where's Jezreel? Megiddo.
Yes.
That's going to be a great day, because you know, guess who's landing? Jesus.
Yes.
And guess who's behind him? The sheaves.
Us.
The harvest that he took with him. Okay, they're coming back with him, and great will be that day, because he will reclaim Israel, and he will say, now I said that you were not my people in this very land, but now I'm saying you are my people.
Yeah.
And now he's going to give them the Holy Spirit. Okay, and then now Israel will have the same spirit that the church has, and those who pierced him will see him coming. Okay, so I did this study because I want you to know that God planned every event in the Bible. And God is telling you the exact place where they're going to be punished. And God is telling you the exact things that are going to happen. So now we got in Israel. So somebody wrote the other night, the Jews that are in Israel, they're not the Ashkenazi Jews. And I know what he meant. They are the Ashkenazi Jews. They're not the the false Jews, which I say are members of Mossad, members of that are claiming Judaism, but they're really the synagogue of Satan. Okay, and these are the Jews that have Jewish names, like Soros and not Rockefellers, but what's the other? Well, they all have these Jewish names. They claim to be Jews, but God knows that they are Luciferians. And He says they are a synagogue of Satan. Okay. But they have these Jewish names, because if you look, 90% of the media is owned by Jewish names.
I know.
Most of the NFL is owned by Jewish names. Where are all these people getting all this money?
Rothschilds,
okay? So he's distributing this money to people, but he's distributing it to people who have Jewish names, but they don't have the agenda of the nation of Israel. They have an agenda of the destruction of man and the destruction of Israel.
Yes.
Okay? But they have a name that says that they are Jewish, but they're not. They are a synagogue of Satan.
Yes.
Those are them. Okay? So, the Rothschilds, all these people that are doing these certain things. So, this is going to happen. The evidence of this thing is this. God's already told you the nation where they're going to be punished and when. And then last night we talked about, he said, in the last generation, you'll return to this land. And then he says, it's going to happen in 5708, which is 1948. Mm-hmm. And he said, 19 years later, you're going to get Jerusalem back. So God has already explained to us everything that he's going to do. And he did it.
Yes.
Okay. Now he's saying, oh, and by the way, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Okay, what was going on in the days of Noah? Nephilim on the earth.
Yep.
Are there Nephilim on the earth?
Yep.
I just emailed to Pastor Ben today. The Cannibal Club, okay, is a restaurant that serves human meat to Nephilim. Okay, because if I told you, if you sat down at my restaurant and you said, "Wow, this meat looks delicious. What is it?" and I said, "Human meat," you would get up and walk out. But not a Nephilim. They would sit there and go, awesome, right? There's a restaurant called the Cannibal Club. It is a real place, okay? And you can watch the video if you want. I'm telling you, it's absolutely crazy. They'll tell you they brag about some of their members. Meryl Streep, Chelsea Clinton, and Anderson Cooper are all members of the Cannibal Club. And I'm like, well, all of them were satanic, so that would make sense. Nephilim eat what Nephilim eat, right?
Right.
So there are Nephilim on the earth. I want you to know this. You don't have to meditate on it, but there are Nephilim here, and there were Nephilim in the time of Noah. Also, God said it will be as it was in the days of Noah. What did he do in the days of Noah? Noah, it will be 120 years. And then my spirit will not always dwell with men.
Yes.
Their time shall be 120 years. Okay, now listen to what I'm saying. My spirit will not always dwell with men because they are flesh. That means God is going to take his spirit
yes.
out.
Yes.
When? After 120.
Yes.
When the 120 hits, I am going to take my spirit out of the world.
Yes.
Okay? This is as it was in the days of Noah. So this is the reason why I'm going through this book. I'm going through J.R. Church's exhaustive study on the book of Psalms, because we're realizing that God gave us a 120-year count that ends at 120, the Psalms of Ascent. Okay? And from understanding that, now we see what God meant. Because in the beginning, what did we believe? And it was absolutely right. Why shouldn't we believe this? This is absolutely correct. Watch this. 6,000 is the same as 120
times
50. Times jubilees. Okay. When did the 6,000 year end? 2017. Wow. If God meant that this 120 jubilees is the countdown, we would have been gone there.
Right.
So you understand why we understood it in that fashion. Because we didn't know of another 120 count. But now we do. Psalms 1 through 120. 120 begins a whole new thing.
Yes.
This is the psalm of going up, the psalms of ascent. Okay? Mm-hmm. So now we have another 120 count to look at and to contemplate and to say, is this about to happen? Because if it is, you're on year 119. And it's Rosh Hashanah. And the church has to leave before the travail of Israel begins. They begin travailing in the 120th year in 2020, but we know that the church is gone before then.
Pastor Sandy Barr, Pat Peterson wants to know, do you see the rapture in Psalms 119:40 and Psalms 119:88?
Yes. You can see the rapture in Psalms 119. It's definitely there. Okay, and I think we went on with it about three messages ago in this club, right? Mm-hmm. We went over that rapture scenario that happens in Psalms 119. And this happens before we get to 120, because in 120, they're already crying out and asking God to help, okay? So it's an absolutely awesome time to be a Christian. It's an absolutely fearful time to not know Jesus, or to be caught up in once saved, I'm always saved, and God doesn't mind if I do a little sin. It's a horrible time to be that person, because that person comes to God at the end and say, what do you mean I got left? Didn't I preach in your name? And didn't I prophesy in your name? And didn't I lay feed the hungry in your name? And he'll say, away from me, you evildoers. Do you understand? Because when you quench the Holy Spirit, when you don't allow the Holy Spirit to rule in your life and you let your flesh rule over your spirit, you are what the Bible calls lukewarm, unprepared for the wedding day.
Right.
Okay? So let's live right. Let's make sure that we are living for Christ when he comes, because we have this prophecy before us and we're in year 119. At Rosh Hashanah. How much time we got, Pastor Ben?
A minute and a half.
Ow! Did it go that fast?
It went fast.
Wow. Well, praise the Lord. If you don't have that particular study, it's in this First Base Hebrew Bible College. Bible course, and this is part of our Bible college.
Anybody can have it.
You email it, you can get it by email,
yeah.
And you can just print it up. You can make it look all pretty like Pastor Ben did for me. So praise God. All right. So from last night's message and to this message, I hope we have enough information to understand that God has already pre-told history. And that God has now pre-told his 120 years. And man, we should be dancing. We should have a little party before we go. I wish we could. Like, we're only rapture ready people are invited. We're having a pre-party before the party. And you know, they'll be dancing and singing praises to God all day. And then we'll sit and we'll wait for the Lord. But praise God, we are living in this time. It's a horrible time to see how much evil has come upon this world, but it's a great time to know that God, Elohim, Yahweh,
yeah.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Ruach HaKodesh, has already had a plan for us from the beginning. Praise God, and let's pray out.
All right.
Yivarekka Adonai veYishmarekka. Yair Adonai panavileka veChuneka. Yase Adonai panavileka veYasim lekai shalom. VeYasim lekai shalom. And the Lord said, when you bless my people, Moses, make sure you tell them this. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Lehitriot, that means I will see you. Beshavua haba, in next week. Or in the cloud. It's Rosh Hashanah weekend, right?
Yeah.
I hope I'm so wrong. I'll be like, I'm going up. I was less right. All right.
God bless.